I'm greatly surprised that I'm standing here at this time. Certainly came without a consideration of trying to preach with other preachers here, which makes me exceedingly happy. That's what we need in associational meetings like this, fellowship meetings. We need company.
Yeah.
We need brethren to come to see us, and when they're there, we need to use them.
Yeah.
If at all possible, work that out. And I feel almost out of place being here when there's somebody else here from out of state. We need to hear them. And I enjoyed what I heard this morning. It was wonderful to me. I rejoiced in the efforts of those dear brethren. And I heard the report of yesterday, and even last night, how wonderful it was. And so that's good. We need that. I enjoyed Brother Tommy. He can preach the doctrine. He can preach duty, responsibility. And we need that. I know it's not the most comforting thing in the world, but we need it. And I appreciate men bold enough, because I know him. He's a goodwill man. He's an ambassador for the Primitive Baptist cause, and certainly has but one interest, and that's to build up the church and to give you something that will be good for you. Certainly has nothing to downgrade you, it's to upgrade you, and I know that. And that's the reason I can enjoy it better. I felt like he had bitterness, and he was up here with an anger, and he was here rebuking you from that standpoint. Even though it be the truth, I wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't appreciate it. But that's not him. He's full of love, compassion, and God has blessed him, and I love to have him to come to see us. Just give me a few minutes. I want to change the tune here just a little bit. I thought about coming to this feast. This certain man fixed for those that were bidden and to this supper, and one place is called a dinner. But all of these wonderful things that are mentioned, and of course the excuses some made, as he has already given us that. But what I'm thinking about, the thought I was thinking about, what do we really miss in not being attentive and being present to the house of God, the true church of God? And I believe there's the truth in the world, brother, and I believe there's the false, and I believe there's the truth. I believe there was those seven women that represented the whole of those under consideration, seven. And they were taking hold of one man. They were naming Christ. But yet they were only using his name to take away their reproach. But they said, "We'll eat our own bread. We'll wear our own apparel. Let us use thy name to take away our reproach." So I do believe there's the seven women. There are those that have a name of Christ. They're not completely pagan, where Christ is not named. They name Christ. Christ is named. But they eat their own bread.
Yeah.
They make up their own dough. They make up their own mixture. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. It is a doctrine mixed. Some truth and some error. It's mixed up like that. That's to eat their own bread. And one time I had a cousin that worked for a bread company, and I says, back then a loaf of bread was about a nickel. Big long loaf of bread. I said, how in the world could they sell and package a loaf of bread at that price? He said, you ought to see it before they swell it up.
Yeah.
So put that yeast in it, you know, and self-rise. And so when you put the leaven in, that's self-exaltation. But the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees. Christ said that. But what we get in coming to the true church of Jesus Christ is the great doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I include that in the doctrine, what we've heard, all of aspects of truth, whether it's fundamental, or whether it's experimental, or whether it's practical, along those lines, all of that takes in the doctrine in a sense of the word. And then again, doctrine is designated in the sense of the things pertaining to our salvation. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine.
Yeah.
See, there it's identified in the fundamentals. And then it goes on and gives the other aspects of the gospel. But there again, brethren, the doctrine as a whole is all aspects of truth. And so we want to recognize that. But I thank God that I have the opportunity and have had that in my lifetime to go where I can hear the truth concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. To hear about a God that is a sovereign God. A God that had all power, both in heaven and in earth. None could stay His hand. A God that declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that have not yet been, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." I love to hear about a God, my friend, that foreknew His people, made choice of them in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. Now, where are you going to hear that? Brother, whose table are you going to find that sitting on? You check it out if you want to. My friend, to hear about a God that made choice of His people and He chose them, both Jew and Gentile, all of us embraced in that everlasting covenant and the promise of God made in Christ to all of His elect, wherever they may be. Not a little few. Somebody said, "Well, I'd like your doctrine if it wasn't so narrow." It's such a narrow doctrine. I said, like the ribbon on grandma's bonnet, it may sound like it's narrow, but look how long it is.
Yeah.
And so, I tell you, my friend, the great length of the salvation of our God includes His people out of, not all of, but out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe, and every people.
Yeah.
Oh, my friend, that glorious and that wonderful day, He says, "Father, here am I, and all the children which Thou hast given me, bless God, they'll all be there." They may never have heard a gospel sermon in all this earth, but they will hear the voice of the Son of God in the power of regeneration. He will call them. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead to hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Oh, my brethren, I believe in that kind of God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. Of all which the Father has given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise him up again at the last day. That's on that table. Brother, I want to come to that table. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, brethren, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And them that he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. That's on the table, brethren. And I want to come and sit down at a table where I can eat the great things of my God. Hear about a Christ that is not trying to do something, but a Christ that never fails. As sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin is a powerful weapon. Sin is a terrible reign. It has reigned from Adam and Eve throughout the masses of the human race. It has reigned in the heart of infant children. It has reigned in the lives of teenagers. It has reigned in the lives of men in the mid-station of life. It has reigned in the old age. It reigns, my friend, to men, to women, to boys, to girls, to children, to grandchildren. Sin reigns, my friend, unto death in all situations, in wherever it may be. But as sin has reigned, my friend, unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. That's it.
If sin is that powerful, and it is, as sin has reigned unto death, where sin abounds, grace is much more. That's on that table. I love to hear about the abounding grace of God. And brother, I tell you, we had a little girl we never did get to see. Sin abounded in her life. We loved her, never saw her. But sin brought her to death. But brother, when we got a little marker out there in the cemetery, in a memorial park, but one glorious day, grace will come and take that little lump of clay and raise it and glorify it and bring it forth in perfection, my friend. Oh, I wish I could preach. This is the most wonderful thing. Have a grandson, 21 years of age. Sin reigned. Sin reigned through physical infirmities. Sin reigned and brought an untimely death to a loving grandson that came a few days before that and walked in on his lunch hour and walked by me and laid his hand on my shoulder and says, "Pa, sometime when I have time, I want to talk to you about baptism." Oh, my soul! I tell you what, I believe grace was reigning right there in his heart. We carried him out for breakfast one morning. I had the Cracker Barrel. And I didn't know who wrote it on there, but up on the top of one of the menus, he slid it over in front of me and says, "What do you think about this?" I said, "What?" I thought he was looking for something, on the menu. And then I saw that writing. It says, a cooking is like religion. I said, "Some can and some can't. Some's elect and some ain't." I said, "Boy, you got it." I tell you, well, you, even that little thing there showed me, my brother, he believed in the God of election. He believed in the God of sovereignty. He lies yonder, not very far from that little girl. He lies there. And not too long ago, I buried an old sister way up in her 90s. And I looked down, and we were burying her down. And I could see where my grandson was lying. And I could see where our little daughter was lying just a little further down the way. But oh, brother, regardless of the age and the time of the day, this old and ancient sister is crumbled up in death and lies there in a tomb. But he'll bring them all together in that wonderful and grand and glorious day and present them unto the Father. Oh, my brethren, you talk about a cemetery. I used to weep over them. Oh, that was a sad thing to me to go into a cemetery. I don't feel that way anymore. I love to walk sometimes among the tombs, not as the wild man, but as the same man. I like to walk among the tombs and look there at the markers of old saints and family members and all that I never see again in this world. But oh, my friends. I believe I'll see them in that grand day of the resurrection of the dead. Oh, where tears have been shed, Friday tears, when we've laid them asleep there, my friend, and we've shed the tears of sorrow there. But I'll tell you where those Friday tears have been shed is going to be the shouting ground of the saints of God. Brother, that's on this table here. I wish I could preach, but I gotta quit. And God bless you now. Thank you.